प्रयात शिक्ष गुरुगान थानहरा चरण आगे खोरिया वंदान। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय दैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा। I first offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of my initiating spiritual master and all my instructing spiritual masters. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami in his thesis, Bhakti Sandarbha, has stated that uncontaminated devotional service is the objective of pure Vaishnavas, and that one has to execute such service in the association of other devotees. By associating with devotees of Lord Krishna, one develops a sense of Krishna consciousness and thus becomes inclined toward the loving service of the Lord. This is the process of approaching the Supreme Lord by gradual appreciation in devotional service. If one desires unalloyed devotional service, one must associate with devotees of Sri Krishna. For by such association only can a conditioned soul achieve a taste for transcendental love and thus revive his eternal relation with Godhead in a specific manifestation and in terms of the specific transcendental mellow or ras that one has eternally inherent within him. Srila Prabhupada is stressing to us the paramount importance of the association of devotees. At one time during the life of Srila Prabhupada on this earth, one of his senior devotees was feeling that he wanted to execute Krishna consciousness in a secluded place, and he was even criticizing his godbrothers because apparently there was misunderstandings and sometimes even some politics. And Srila Prabhupada, after hearing and examining the contents of this man's heart very carefully, he explained in a letter that for you to think that you can make any spiritual progress without the association of devotees is simply an imagination. It is not possible. Because you see, what Srila Prabhupada, the great acharyas, are trying to give us is the true substance of pure devotional service. As far as some shadow of Krishna consciousness, which appears to be Krishna consciousness, appears to be something very blissful and nectarine, but isn't the real fiber of learning the art of surrender, which is the preliminary for entering into any rasa with Krishna. It is an imagination. And therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami is explaining here in the Bhakti Sandarbha that it is an act that one must associate with devotees of Sri Krishna. Because by such association only can a conditioned soul achieve taste for transcendental love. So we have seen even from our own temple some of our devotees. They want to just go to Vrindavan and roam through the groves of Vrindavan like a Saki. Where is Radha? Where is Krishna? And just they're dancing, they're chanting, they're laughing, they're going to all the festivals. They're like this. But you see, such persons have not understood the real fiber of surrender. We may think that here we are in Bombay, suffering so many inconveniences, polluted city, materialism all around, risks of falling down at every step, and there's so much pressure on me to do so much service, and because of all this pressure, sometimes even the devotees argue and fight together. I don't feel like I'm really Krishna conscious. If I was just roaming through the groves of Nandagaon, Barasana, Govardhan, just
in Shaki, Saki Bhava, just going wherever Radharani sends me from within the heart, then I will be very happy. No worries, no problems, no tensions. Very, very happy. Yes, you can enjoy, but that is all. You cannot be purified very well by this process. Because in Bhagavad Gita, we learn the art of surrender. We learn the art of being disciplined by the spiritual master and being disciplined by the congregation of devotees. And this discipline is the prerequisite. If we try to jump ahead to the level of the six Goswamis, then we will simply be fooling ourselves and there will be no purification. Therefore, under the order of a bona fide spiritual master, we must learn how to discipline our lives, regulate our lives, and perform tapasya, perform austerities for the sake of purification. And of course, here it is explained very, very strongly, because Srila Prabhupada had a great concern that if devotees don't understand how to associate with one another properly and the importance of that association, then even in the name of Krishna consciousness, there will be no real spiritual advancement. People may appear to be very advanced. Sometimes we see people who go to these holy dhams, they appear to be very advanced because they're just, sometimes they're even crying tears when they're chanting. But Srila Prabhupada explains that those tears wash away all the Vedic conclusions. Because the conclusion of the Vedas is to surrender. And what does it mean to surrender? It means tapasya, it means discipline. Not just doing what you like to do and being who you like to be with. I remember when I first went to New Vrindavan in 1972, I was thinking, I don't have anything in common with any of these people. If I had my choice, I would not be in the association of any of these types of people. I'm nothing like them. And yet I have to sleep with them, I have to eat with them, I have to chant with them, I have to work with them. It's a small community. But then I understood from Srila Prabhupada's causes mercy that this is part of the process of surrender. To learn how to associate with these devotees for Krishna consciousness, not for my pleasure, not for my enjoyment. I told Srila Bhaktipad that this New Vrindavan has too much opulence. Hot milk at night and all these things. And Bhaktipad said that Prabhupada, he quoted Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, if you are living under a tree and you're asked to live in a palace, you should live in a palace. And if you're living in a palace and you're asked to live under a tree, you should live under a tree. We're simply doing what our Guru Maharaj wants. Chant, can't, can't, can't. People are very lazy. When it comes to the real things of life, they're so lazy. Can you come to Gaur Purnima festival? If I have time. It's the one night of the year that the golden avatar appears. But I have to work late tonight, I'm sorry. What excuse could we possibly have? There's only one excuse. There's only one real excuse. To simply admit the fact that I am an ass. I am a Buddha, and I'm proud of it. Other than that, keep your mouth shut, because there's no other excuse that God will accept. Bhagavatam says people are lazy. They are misguided. The blind are leading the blind. Everyone is falling in a ditch. What do we mean by misguided? Ah.
that in our educational institutions, in our newspapers, the leaders of society on practically every level, they simply want us to be consumers. Huh? They want to exploit us by making us consumers. Buy, 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 eat, eat, eat. Better clothes, better food, better place to live, better aftershave lotion, better toothpaste. Better cigarette. These are imported. Everywhere you look, you're being bombarded. And the innocent man is simply being dragged from one sense object to another. This is the age of Kali Yuga. You are what you associate with. People are very, very anxious to associate with bigger mudhas, people who could foam more at the mouth than me. He must be really great. If you think about it, that is the type of people that are idolized in this world. These are the types of people are mad to follow and follow in the footsteps of. And therefore, because of so many bad habits, people are very short-lived, they have very short memories, they're prone to many diseases. This is the dark age that we are living. Of course, if you're in the mode of ignorance, like a bat, then you think the darkness is light. Huh? You know what the bat is? You fly in the sky and suck blood sometimes, huh? The bat loves the night. He can just get around quite comfortably in the night. But in the daytime, he becomes blinded. He cannot stand to see the light. He hides in a cave and hangs upside down. Like that. This is an age of bats. It is an age where people love darkness. They love ignorance of God. Therefore, this is the most difficult time for God consciousness. It is called the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Because at the slightest provocation, there's anger, hatred, quarrel, war. In this day and age, a world war can start just by somebody pressing the wrong button. And a family unit, even brothers fight against brothers when there's a little money quarrel between them. They become deadly, ruthless enemies. Sometimes even father against son, son against father. It's happening all around. Therefore, if Krishna were to come as Ram in this age, because Ram was killing the Rakshasas like Ravana, Ram would have to kill practically everyone with his bow and arrow. But that's not practical. So he doesn't come as Ram in Kali Yuga. If he came as Narsingadev, in Satyayuga he came as Narsingadev. If he came as Narsingadev, we would all be like what you see in the butcher shops. We would all be like that. If he came as Krishna, his Sudarshan Chakra would be continuously engaged in severing heads. So therefore, in Kali Yuga, the Lord cannot come in these incarnations. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chuduskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami yuge yuge. In Kali, the Lord comes in every yuga to protect the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish the principles of religion. But in Kali Yuga, 99% of the population is miscreants. If Narsingha came in Kali Yuga, we would all have nail holes in our bodies. If Ram came, we would all be covered with arrows. If Krishna came, we would all not have heads. Therefore, it takes the most merciful, special of all incarnations to appear in this age of Kali. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauritveshe Namaha. To annihilate the miscreants, the Lord always comes with his astra, his weapon. But in this age of Kali Yuga, Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shri Gaura Sundar, the son of Jagannath Mishra, who appeared in the holy district of Nadia in Sri Mayapur Dham. That same Ram, that same Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, appeared in a beautiful golden complexion. And he was armed with only one weapon, the weapon of his beauty, which he was distributing freely through his holy name. This is the astra that is perfectly suited in this age, the weapon of the holy name. Why? We have seen in this beautiful play performed by our brahmacharis this evening that Jagai and Madhai, they were horrible, horrible asuras, demons. It's very difficult for a pure-hearted brahmachari like Tattva or Shamananda to display the qualities of Jagai and Madhai. Actually, you know, Jai and Vijay, they fell to this world because they were cursed by the four Kumaras. They were cursed to take three births as demons. First, they appeared as Hiranyaksha in Hiranyakashipu. Next, they appeared as Ravana in Kumbhakarna. Next, they appeared as Shishupal and Dantavakra. But they wanted to come back again as demons, because they wanted to receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So they appeared as Jagai and Madhai. Jagai and Madhai were ferocious rakshasas. Every day they would murder, they would steal, they would rape, they would engage in every criminal action imaginable. And nobody could arrest them because they were appointed the law enforcers of the area. It's an extreme example of what's happening in many places today, that the biggest criminals are the police. Not always, but sometimes. Not just sometimes, but quite often. But if you want to be like that, then they will be good idols to follow, because they were the worst. If you looked at them in the wrong way, you would be killed dastardly within a second. They were creating havoc throughout the land. Dina hina yatta chilo harinamu dharilo thara sakshi jagai madhai. Dina hina yata chilo harinamu udharilo thara sakshi jagai madhai. When Jagai and Madhai committed this great offense against Lord Nityananda, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time, he called for his Sudarshan Chakra. But Lord Nityananda Prabhu reminded him of his mission in this age of Kali. He said, "My Lord, if you're going to kill these men, you're going to have to kill everybody. Because in Kali Yuga, more or less everyone is going to become like this. So please, be merciful to them." And then Lord Chaitanya remembered, "Yes, yes. My mission is to kill, to defeat, to destroy all the bad qualities in the hearts, to kill the demon within the heart with the sound of the holy name. Simply by taking the name of Krishna once with a sincere mind, Jagai and Madhai were purified of all of their demoniac qualities. And they became gentle, devoted lovers of God." After this wonderful pastime took place, Madhai was so repentant of everything he had done. He just couldn't get over it. He was always in an ocean of tears. He begged Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he begged Lord Nityananda, "What can I do? Should I beat myself in the head? Should I commit suicide? All the offenses I've done." He was so gentle. He was so sweet. He simply wanted to make everyone happy. But he couldn't get over what he had done. So Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya told him, "Why don't you just chant the holy names and do a little service for the Lord's devotees?" So with his own hands, he humbly went down with a little shovel and built a ghat so the devotees could comfortably bathe in the Ganges. Today, there is still a place called Madhai Ghat in Navadvip. And devotees still go there to take baths. So you see, Madhai, simply by the sincere chanting of Krishna's name, he became a humble menial servant of even the most insignificant creatures on earth. This is the power of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the Yugavatar. He is the incarnation that has come specifically to give everyone hope in this age of hopelessness. We sing a beautiful song.
Mukunda Madhava Yadava Hari Bolena Boloroi Vadana Pore Micheni Davase Gelori Rati Divasa Sari Rasaje.
Lord Chaitanya every morning would go into the streets with his arms raised, going door to door begging his eternal children to take the names of God. He would call out to them, "Chant the names Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, and Hari. Fill your mouth with these sweet vibrations.
You spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days decorating your dying bodies. E mana dullaba manava deha paiya ki koro bhavana keha ebe na bhajilo yashoda suta sharane podibe laje. You have achieved such a rare human body, but you do not care for this gift. You remain not serving the darling of Mother Yashoda and slowly fall through your last moments to death. Udita tapana hoile asta dina gelo poli hoibe piasta tabe ke no ebe alasa hoi na bhaja hridaya raje. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Then why do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? Jivana anitya janahasa tahina navida vipadabar namashraya kodijatana tumi thakaha apana kaje. This temporary life is full of various miseries. Take shelter of the holy name as your only business. Jivera kalyana shadana kam jagate asi e madhuranam avidya thimira thapana rupe haridgagane viraje. To penetrate the darkness of ignorance and bless everyone's heart, the holy name has risen like the shining sun. Krishna namasuda koriopan, judao bhakati vinodapran, namavina kichu nahiko ara, chaudha puvanamaje. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name. There is nothing but the name to be had in the 14 worlds. It has filled the soul of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is the great message. This is the greatest treasure, the greatest gift, that God has personally come holding in his own merciful, loving hands, and he is offering it to all of us. Take the name of Krishna. Chant the sweet sound of God's name. Grihe thako, vane thako, sadha hari bole thako, shuke dhuke bhulo nako, varane hari naam koro. Lord Chaitanya is inviting us. Whether you are a grihastha with a family and children and you have some important occupation or profession in this world, or whether you are a sannyasi wandering, begging, or living in the jungle, it does not matter. Just take the name of Krishna. You will rise above all the distress of this world, and you will taste the real sweetness of eternal happiness. Lord Chaitanya's mercy is practical for everyone. It is a path that is not like the paths of previous avatars. I don't know if you know the real teachings of Shankaracharya, but Shankaracharya taught, first take sannyas, then listen to me. People don't understand. They take his teachings very cheaply. Shankaracharya demanded you must take sannyas, then you could follow his path. Because the process of jnana is very difficult for one who is in any way, shape, or form connected to the relative conditions of this world, what to speak of family life. Jnana means to constantly discriminate And you must be very renounced to do like this. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explains that this age of Kali Yuga, the holy name is so powerful. The process of devotional service, bhakti, is so insurmountable that in whatever condition of life you are in, whether you are a child, whether you are a housewife, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of the greatest acharyas in the history of the universe, he had 10 children. And he was a judge, a chief justice for a state. But he exhibited the highest, most saintly qualities anyone has ever seen. And he did not give up his profession. He was most proficient. But because he sincerely was not lazy, but he regularly chanted the name of God. He regularly heard from the devotees and served the lotus feet of the sadhus. He is one of the most worshipable and great saints in our modern history. And his son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was a staunch, strict sannyasi who never owned a single thing in his life. He simply traveled and preached like a beggar, opposing all opposition with his great, great devotional integrity. Father and son, between the two of them, they have taught everyone how to live. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he glorified his father. And Bhaktivinoda glorified his son. There is a need for sannyasis. There is a need for businessmen. There is a need for lawyers. There is a need for politicians. There is a need for housewives. There is a need for students. There's a need for farmers. This society needs. But the great need is to do it in devotion to God. And by simply accepting the gift of Sriman Mahaprabhu Gauranga, by simply receiving with a gracious heart the holy name of the Lord, the gift of God in this age, whoever we are, we can achieve the supreme perfection of life. So on this most auspicious and holy occasion of Gauda Purnima, the full moon night when the golden avatar, the Yuga avatar, the most merciful, benevolent, and loving of all incarnations of God appeared to reveal the ways and means by which Kali Yuga can become the golden age. And in the scripture it is explained that the greatest saints, they worship Kali Yuga. They do not worship Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, or Dwapara Yuga. They worship Kali Yuga. Why? Kalera dosani de rajan asti heko mahanguna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha param brajet. Do you know how hard, difficult, impossible it is to become God realized in previous ages? What tapasya you have to perform? We're not talking about being a little pious and religious. We're speaking about God realization. In age of Kali Yuga, God gives it freely, cheaply to everyone. That simply by taking the name of Krishna with a sincere heart, everyone will become perfect. Therefore, this Kali Yuga is worshipable. Why is Kali Yuga worshipable? Because of the divine presence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is living within his instructions. He is living within the hearts of each one of his dedicated devotees who have dedicated their lives to his mission of compassion. So on this very, very holy evening of Gaur Purnima, Lord Chaitanya is not asking us to give him any gift. On your birthday, you expect people to give you gifts. Isn't that correct? But the Supreme God, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on his birthday, he does not expect us to give him any gift. He is begging us to accept the gift that he wants to give us. If you want to satisfy an ordinary man, you give him something on his birthday. But if you want to satisfy the greatest, Purushottam, the supreme man, the supreme Godhead, just receive what he is giving you. He is giving you a gift which is of immeasurable value. He is giving you the gift of an eternal life full of bliss and knowledge. He's begging you, please, kindly, take the name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Yes, please do not misunderstand and think that this dancing is like some sort of ballroom dancing or what goes on in the permit rooms. This is the very process that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally revealed to us. You see in the pictures. He was even making the lions and tigers and rabbits dance. If we are not willing to dance in kirtan, that means we are less than the animals, because he made them dance. This dancing is an expression of love. When we raise our arms, we are reaching out like helpless children to the almighty mercy of God, praying, Lord, please give me the shelter of your lotus feet. This is what it means when we raise our arms. And when we chant the name of the Lord, we are praying, O all-attractive, all-merciful Lord, how may I serve you? I have no other shelter than you. You are my love. You are my father. You are my mother. You are my everything. In birth or death, I have nothing more than you. This dancing, although it is joyful because it connects us with God. And if you are not inclined to dancing, then chant the holy name and dance in your heart. There are no hard and fast rules. Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrapita niyamita smarane nakala ethadrishita vakripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivam idram idrisham ihajani nanuragaha. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that God has many names. He was universal. He was interfaith. Whether you are a Muslim or a Christian or a Hindu or a Jew or a Parsi or a Jain, in every religion, God has a name. Chant that name with sincerity. There is one God for all religions. If you are not inclined toward Krishna, chant the name of God, of that one God that you worship in your religion. But Lord Chaitanya chanted Krishna. So we also chant Krishna. But there are no hard and fast rules. Because in every name of God, he has invoked all of his potency, all of his glory, and all of his power. And what is the supreme power of God? His beauty and his sweetness. His love. When you are killed by his Sudarshan Chakra, you get liberation. But when you are killed, when your false ego, ahankar, is killed by the beauty and sweetness of the holy name, the beauty and sweetness of the divine form of the Lord, we go beyond liberation. We attain prema bhakti, pure love, eternal love. This is the gift of Lord Gaurasundar. So with a humble state of mind, let us greet the Lord on this day of his birth, and let us offer him the gift of our hearts by receiving the holy name and chanting and dancing with great enthusiasm. Thank you very much.